Hello! Welcome, welcome, welcome! Glad to have you with us again. I want to take you to the book of Proverbs, chapter 12. And just one simple verse. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 1. Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Now, I will try and not let this message turn into a commentary or an editorial on what I think about people today or about the way they act. But maybe I'm not alone with this. Maybe you feel the same way that I do. It seems that we live in an age where people are accepting less responsibility for their actions. They are always the victim, but never the culprit. Someone or something else is always to blame, and so any words of rebuke or correction or any type of discipline should not be directed at them because they haven't done anything wrong. Adults and kids are this way. My son is in public school. My wife volunteers as a para in a public school, and I hear from both of them about some of the behavior from the kids. Now, my son has always had a tendency towards being a rule follower, as he and his mother describe himself. And I'm not bragging on him, okay? He's not perfect like any kid isn't. But when he's told by a teacher to do something, he does it. It's almost instinctual with him. He's been raised that way. You obey those who have the authority over you. And it's rare that he's ever in any real trouble. And I love him for that. I appreciate him for that. As his parent, he's pretty easy to work with. But I hear about a lot of these other kids, and I see some of this myself in other places. There's no respect for the rules, for the ones making or enforcing the rules. There's no respect for teachers or principals, sometimes no respect for other kids. The kids of today have very little respect for rules or for adults. They seem to have very little discipline in their lives, and when you hear their parents, you start to understand why. All of us are responsible for our own actions, yes, but kids are impressionable, especially younger kids. They're still learning as they are growing up. Childhood is that part of life where they learn right from wrong. They learn respect, honesty, taking responsibility for their actions. But with a lot of these parents, it's clear that they don't do any of those things themselves, so why would we expect any different behavior from their kids who are learning from the examples of their parents? It's easy sometimes to look at a kid and be upset and say that they need discipline, they need someone to teach them some respect. But the problem is that the people who should be doing all those things apparently haven't learned it themselves yet. The parents could stand and have the same discipline that we think the kids need. People who get what they want by bullying or intimidating or by outright lying, shifting blame, in general, just being a difficult human being to share the planet with. I'm a little less surprised that some people are seriously considering that trip to Mars if it ever actually does happen, but I doubt that the space creatures on Mars want the likes of humanity coming up there to their galaxy and corrupting it the way that we have been our own planet. Excuse me. Proverbs 12:1 creates an interesting thought because it says whoever loves discipline. I was disciplined as a child by both of my parents, and I can honestly say that I never loved any of it, especially what came down to me from my father. I could almost hear the leather belts in his closet going, "Pick me! Pick me!" And my mother suffered from debilitating migraines when I was growing up, but somehow she never seemed to have a bad enough one when it came time for my bottom to be blistered. She always managed to be able to turn me over her knee anyway. She may be puking in the toilet a minute later, but she got my spanking out of the way first. Priorities, I guess. I don't know. As I grew up, and as I look back on it now, I didn't love it then, but I think I can say that I love it now, or at least I have a great respect for it now, because I look back and I can see why I was disciplined. And this isn't a sermon preaching for spanking or against spanking. That's a touchy subject in homes and in the courts, and I will not make a claim for either side because, hey, not all kids are the same. Punishments are not one size fits all, and personally, I don't care whether you as a parent spank or don't spank, but I do expect you to do something meaningful to your child when he throws a ball and breaks the window in my Jeep, something besides say, well, my kid would never do that. I hate hearing that because guess what? Your little brat kid just did do that, and if he or she never has to face a consequence for what they do, they will continue to do that and worse and become a threat and or a menace to society and probably wind up in prison by the age of 20, and to a large degree it will be your fault. Look at Proverbs chapter 5 and verse number 11. At the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and body are spent. You will say, "How I hated discipline, how my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers or listen to my instructors. I have come to the brink of utter ruin in the midst of the whole assembly." If you go back and get the full context of this passage, starting in verse 1, you can see that the speaker of those verses was warned about immorality, adultery specifically. But the implications are the same no matter what it is. Clearly he was warned. Clearly he rejected the warning. He would not listen when people tried to correct him, when they tried to rebuke him. Even when he was disciplined, he rejected the discipline and failed to learn anything from it. And he gets to the end of his life and realizes that so much of the trouble he had was brought on by himself because of the discipline and correction that he rejected. And now he regrets it, but now it's too late. Excuse me. In this society that refuses to accept responsibility for anything they do, this society that rejects discipline, that maybe even says, "You can't discipline me," is headed for the same trouble and regret. And now I am talking about kids and adults, okay? I'm talking about everybody, all of us. I'm not just talking about how a child, if you're listening to this, how you react to correction. I'm not talking just about parents and how you raise your kids. I'm talking about everybody, how you react with any type of correction or discipline that comes your way. I'm talking about all of us who all need to learn how to accept responsibility for our actions, because guess what? Sometimes we are going to screw something up. Sometimes it is going to be our fault. But I wonder, do people nowadays know how to say those words? That yes, it was me. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5 says, "And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." In this context, the recipients of this letter were undergoing trials as Christians. And the author is encouraging them to stay faithful, to persevere, and he tells them to consider the trials, consider the hardship, as they would consider discipline. He reminds them that their fathers disciplined them because they loved them, and because, by connection to verse 11, it would create in them righteousness and peace. The knowledge of right and wrong and the ability to do the one and run away from the other, and as a result, it would create peace. He does not tell them that what they are enduring is a punishment or discipline, but that they should consider it in the same light as that because it has the same intentions as does discipline. It intends to create the same attributes. Because the Lord loves you, he disciplines you, and because the Lord loves you, he allows hardships which will create in you a stronger character if you give it its chance. When we were kids, we were disciplined because our parents loved us and wanted to see certain attributes in us. They wanted to see honesty and respect and good character. They wanted to see that we knew right from wrong. If they didn't love us, they would have just let us act any way we wanted because they wouldn't have cared where it got us later in life. Prison or dead, most likely. Kids who feel that being disciplined, that being punished for something wrong is a sign that their parents don't love them, are missing the point of discipline. And parents who feel that discipline just shows their kids they don't love them and so they don't do it are missing the point too. If you love them, you will correct them. You will discipline them. Do some parents take punishment too far and hurt their kids? Yes. But clearly I'm not advocating for that. But simply handing down a punishment to your child because they did wrong is not abusing them or not giving them love. What was it that Hebrews said? If you are not disciplined, you are illegitimate children. Because a true parent will, when necessary, discipline their child and make them take responsibility for their actions, because that is the attribute that leads to righteousness and peace. And God does the same with his children. If you're a child who has never had to endure discipline, don't brag about that, because the Bible says that's not actually a good thing. If you're an adult who has never had to endure some correction or discipline or even a harsh rebuke, don't brag about it, because it's not a good thing. Accepting responsibility is something that everybody should do. We need to put an end to this society of we're all victims and it's somebody else's fault. Romans chapter 13. And verse 1. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe him taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Those opening verses are for those who like to be openly critical and harsh and hateful towards the person currently or previously sitting in the Oval Office. Guess what? If God absolutely didn't want them there, they wouldn't be there. You may not understand God's overall purpose, but clearly God had some purpose, otherwise they wouldn't be there. So keep that in mind the next time you go off on a political hate speech, and especially the next time you want to go and publicize that on social media. And the subsequent verses tell us that there will be rules we must follow, no matter what we think about the civil government. Anti-government does not exist in the mind of God. This is proof right here in Romans 13. In the event of a discrepancy between what civil government tells you to do and what God tells you to do, you must obey God. But in all other matters, the civil government is to be obeyed. They have been put there by God. Why do we pay taxes? Why do we register cars? Why do we keep our licenses updated and all the other government things we do? Simply put, as Christians, because that's what God told us to do. He didn't ask us if we like the IRS or their methods. He didn't ask us if we like car emissions and inspections and the cost of registering. He didn't ask us if we like the keep your dog on a leash law or whether or not we like any other number of things that we're supposed to be doing. He told us to do it because we've been told to do it. Sounds kind of like what we were told as kids. What we were told as kids, isn't it? Because I said so. Nowadays, though, it seems like we have to have a reason that is based in scientific data and the logic of our peers or something before we decide it should be obeyed. And if it hasn't met our criteria for validation, then yeah, we don't have to do it. It's no wonder we're so screwed up nowadays. Because I said so hasn't been spoken to nearly enough people, kids and adults, that they've started thinking that they get to make their own rules and nobody else's rules apply to them. Yeah, good luck working that one on the Day of Judgment when God says, because I said so. You will be speechless. It would be a good idea to learn that phrase now before you hear it then. It would be a good idea to accept responsibility for your actions now before you have to do it then. It would be a good idea to experience some discipline now before you have to experience it then. Discipline comes from those who love you. And loving discipline will help turn you into a person of righteousness, a person of respect, a person of good character, a person who is a glory to God as He watches you live. Now, I'm not advocating for any particular kind of discipline in this message, but since I opened up talking about spanking, I will end with it as well. It was legal when I was a kid, by the way, before anyone starts thinking about being a good citizen and turning in my parents. Child abuse was when you did not punish your children. Man, how far we've fallen from that grace, huh? There was a girl who walked in the living room where father was sitting in his chair. He's reading a newspaper. She lays a wooden paddle down on the arm of the chair, and her dad looks at her and says, "Why are you bringing me that?" She replies, "Because when I tell you what I did, you'll want to use it on me." Honesty and accepting responsibility for your actions. No blame shifting. No cries of being the victim. Just accepting responsibility for what you did and knowing that you have to face the consequences, but knowing that those consequences come from someone who loves you. The title of this message: did it, accept it, face it, love it. Now, I know I did not introduce the title in the beginning, so I will repeat it for you again. Did it, accept it, face it, love it. Though if you clicked on this online, then you actually already read the title of the message, but that's okay. Did it. Whatever the wrong was, whatever bad thing you did or bad thing you said, accept it. Accept responsibility for it. Admit to it. Confess to it. Don't look for someone else or something else to blame when you know in your heart and conscience that you are to blame. It was your fault. Don't try and be a victim when you know you're not. Face it. Face the consequence that you know follows. Take the punishment. Endure the discipline. And love it. Love the fact that each of those experiences, while unpleasant and maybe painful, teaches you something good and helps to mold your character and leads to that righteousness and peace. Man, can you imagine how great of a society we could start having if everybody would just do it, accept it, face it, and love it? Now, we would rather them not do it at all, but you know what? The did it part is going to happen. That's just human nature. We're going to mess up from time to time. Something is going to be our fault. But can you imagine if we would just do it, accept it, and face it, and then love it? Friends, it's what God wants you to do. It really is the Spirit of Christ. Not because Christ Himself had to face such consequences. He was the only one who was able to take on a body like ours and not do all the stupid things with that body that we seem to do. But it is the Spirit of Christ to be honest, to pursue that good character and that integrity. Part of that, my friends, a huge part of that, comes with accepting responsibility, with being able to say, "This was my fault."